Can you imagine going into a supermarket to get things that you needed? Let's say, for instance, you knew that technically that you needed nourishment from vegetables, carbohydrates, proteins, and whatever else. So you picked up some fish, knowing that protein would help you. You picked up some vegetables, knowing they'd be good for you. You picked up bread and other things, knowing they'd be good for you. You filled your trolley full, and you paid for it, and you walked to the door, and then as you got outside, you tipped it all up, left it, and walked home without it. That might seem like a strange thing to do, but sometimes that's what we can be guilty of doing when we come to a church meeting like this, or we spend time in God in the Word, and we get a whole load of stuff to cope with life's cannonballs and fiery darts, and then we go home and forget about it and think, oh, you know, my life's falling to pieces. I want to spend ages watching rubbish on TV and reading rubbish. Well, it's not going to get any better if you do. Sorry. You know, I think, you know, this is all sufficient. Trust me. This and the presence of the Holy Spirit and prayer and fellowship is all sufficient to deal with everything that you are going through. I want to read from John 10 in a moment. You know, I went through a period of my life as a young man dealing with tremendous anxiety. I just had no friends. I didn't know Christianity. And by the grace of God, when I met Christians and when I was invited along to a church and when I accepted Christ, I knew for the first time that I was important, because I didn't think I was important before that. I looked at my family. I looked at my lack of money, how I looked. There was nothing about me that would shine. Because I knew that about myself, I thought, what is the point of getting up in the morning? Why would anybody want me? Well, there's nothing about me that's good. But when I came to meet Jesus and I walked into the Jesus supermarket and I put the fish in the trolley and the food, I put all the Jesus food in there, I decided to take it home with me. And I put it in my bedroom. So when I woke up in the morning, the Jesus food was there. And what, irrespective of what's going to happen this week and what all these things that are going to go wrong, the Jesus food is there to help you. Let's not get so sophisticated that we forget it. You know, quite often, you know, churches can get to the point. You know, I've heard of a friend of mine a while ago. I'm going to go into this in a minute. This is really important tonight. A friend of mine a while ago says, "Oh, I'm really worried about my church. This is a church in Guernsey." He says the pastor never uses the Bible when he preaches. I'm thinking, well, you know. And he says, and I think we can get so sophisticated and think we know it all, and forget that we need the Bible. I am not so sophisticated and big-headed that I just read Christian books. I read the Bible because it helps me. Let's look at John 10, verses 1 to 10. This morning I shared on power from God, miraculous life. Tonight, power from God, abundant life. John 10, 1 to 10. God, I pray today that I would not just preach a good sermon that everyone would go home and say, this is wonderful, this is fantastic, or wasn't he good, or he's better than he was before, or he's worse. But I pray that this shopping trolley that I'm filling up now, Lord, this shopping trolley in your word, that people will take it home and it will help them where they are. And that all of us, Lord, will take heed to what you put in this scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. John 10, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me and are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and life abundantly. Amen. A man had a parrot on his shoulder and he went into a bar. Can't mention a bar in church, but I'm going to do it. A man with a parrot on his shoulder went into a bar and the parrot said, people, people, people. The man said to the parrot, yes, these are people who come into the bar. The man went to the church that Sunday with the parrot. And the parrot said, "People, people, people." The man said, "No, parrot, these are church people." The parrot said, "Same people, same people, same people." Anyway, you don't always get it. I thought, they don't want to get that one. But I think sometimes, you know, the life that we live on the inside of the church has to be the life that, when we take it out, so when we're out there, it's like things like Brexit and everything else, if the word of God and the life of God isn't given as inspiration and strength from the outside, then obviously we need to look at what we're doing. I'm not saying to you tonight, are you experiencing abundant life? You know, so in a sense, because the Bible says that we can experience joy and free from anxiety and happiness and victory. You know, we've heard about overcoming, you know, being overcomers. Well, that means that we can, you know. I think I don't worry about things that much, but sometimes I do a little bit. And I think, well, no, God, I'm going to learn and trust you about it. It's like the other week, I mean, Ashley now comes home from school on her own, and we goes most of the way to school on her own. I mean, we're the third closest house to the school, for goodness sake, I shouldn't worry. But I, in terms of the people that go there. And I think, you know, I think for a few days, Satan got my joy. You know how Satan does that? He puts something new in there, doesn't he? You've got it all worked out. You've been here on Sunday, and you've watched the television programs, and you've done it, and you've been to Encounter or youth group or a conference or whatever. And it's all fine. All of a sudden, bang, something new comes in. Oh, no. What if that does happen? What if that goes wrong? I'm worrying, my gosh, what if Ashley doesn't go home from school? You know, and so I'm texting Jackie at 3 o'clock every day, and God said, don't do that. Because, you know, you've got to trust me. And so I'm thinking, Lord, it is in your... So now I've got the measure of faith for that. So when you get... Now, that's a small thing. But I'm saying that, you know, we can... apply the life of God into our situation and get the victory, honestly. Now, some people don't believe that. You see, because I got such a point of sophistication in my life, I thought, I've been a Christian years and years. I have preached many, many times. I don't need all this stuff. I'm above it. Don't fall into that trap. Because my title of Ealing minister means nothing and will mean nothing in heaven. You know, it's a job that I've got, and I'm thinking, my gosh. You know, it doesn't mean my Christian life will be better. I've got to apply the life of God to my Christian life. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He'll come in and go out and find pasture. What is that pasture? You know, one of the things that called me to the Christian faith when I was young that was when I was watching television as a child, and there was the minister of a church. I can't remember what particular congregational denomination somewhere in the country. And it was a news item, and we're talking about somewhere in the 80s, this man's daughter had been murdered by people, somebody, murdered. And they interviewed him. Now, I'm sorry, if my daughter was murdered, I couldn't do an interview. But they interviewed him, and they said, what's your response? And he said, I've completely forgiven them. He had the life of God shining through his face. Now, I'm sorry, I couldn't do that, unless it was a special measure of grace. But I saw that, and I thought, he has got something in there which I want. I'm not just saying he was born again, because that's a bandwagon word. People say, I'm born again if they sign a prayer, if they pray a prayer and then don't go to church for 20 years. You know, born again means being born again. I mean, you know, I think if you've got it in there, it shines. And with this man, it shined out. And I thought to myself, if there is something genuine, an abundant life in here, if there really, really is, then I want that myself. I want it. Not just to go to church, not just to be a leader of a church, but I want what it is. And quite often, I will see that in people. I'll see where Jesus... Because some people, you know, occasionally Jesus shines through them, and when he shines through them, it's incredible. John 16:13, a bit further on, says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So this Holy Spirit can come right, seep through the cracks, come right down, find us where we are, and start to work with us. So basically, I want to say to you today, in terms of abundant life, if it is broken, he can fix it. If it is broken, he can fix it. And I want to mention just a few areas, actually, seven areas. Doesn't mean to say I'll preach longer than normal, where God can bring abundant life into your life if you will let him. I'm going to read that verse each time. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life, and life abundantly. In terms of the first thing, healing. Healing. We mentioned tonight about somebody who is ill, who we're praying for to be healing. That whole thing goes beyond me. I stop here. I haven't got, there may be those in this room who will have the whys and wherefores of how God could do it, should do it, and will do it, and whatever else, but my faith stops there. No, my faith doesn't stop. My ability to think that I can pray for anybody and heal them stops. But that's where you let God come in. That's where, because he said here, he will guide you in all truth. So he will guide you in all truth. Not he guided us back in all truth when the healing movement started, or when the charismatic church has started, or when this happened, or Toronto. That's them. It's irrelevant to now. Forget it. Yeah. Does my head in when people talk about the birth of Elim. No one cares. Shut up. Forget it. That was then. Charismatic renewal in the late 60s. Brilliant. Fantastic. But now. He will guide you in all truth now. He will be with you now. And in the area of healing. So you might have your questions. What about him? We prayed for him. We prayed for that. We did this. You know, we prayed for auntie such and such. But yeah, but right now, with those questions, he will guide you in all truth. And he can bring healing. Quite often, sometimes, you know, it's God just wants to say, God will, at least if we believe that God is able, God wants to heal and God is able to heal. And then you enter into a dialogue with God, and maybe he'll give you the faith to pray for somebody to be healed, or maybe he'll do it in a different way. But the first thing is healing. The second one, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they have life. And life abundantly in the area of hope. Hope. Romans 12:2 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. Hope is good if you have a belief or an expectation that in the future, things could be better or may be better. Hope is just hope. When you lose all hope, the only person that can give that back to you is God. Hope is something. Well, one night at dinner, a man who had spent many summers in the northeast of the United States fascinated his companions by telling of his experiences in a little town nearby called Flagstaff. The town was to be flooded, and as part of a lake for which a dam was being built. In the months before it was to be flooded, all improvements and repairs in the whole town were stopped. What was the use of painting a house if it was to be covered with water in 6 months? Why repair anything when the whole village was to be wiped out? So week by week, the whole town became more and more bedraggled, more gone to seed, more woe begone. I love these words. Then he added by way of explanation, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Hope can bring... you know, something in there. You hope. Whatever your situation, I have not got the answer to your situation, but God has. Hope. Yeah, but I had hope last time. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Give that to God. Talk to God about that. Wait in His presence for an hour. Whatever. Just let Him speak to you. But hope can come in. Hope can come in. I remember literally when I was young, you know, some young men do. I prayed for, you know, a Christian girlfriend or somebody to marry. And I remember praying. And there was, because I was young and, you know, as a new Christian, my priorities were in the wrong place. I just wanted Jesus, yeah, but I also wanted to get married to a young Christian lady. And I had this hope that at some point in the future, it might happen. And that carries, you know, I had a hope that at some point in the future, I might pass my driving test or do these things. And to have those hope bits of hope there. I just think, you know, this morning, can somebody help me with this and educate me? It's really good. Why is John McLeod so happy? He's 97.
He's close to heaven.
He's close to heaven, but he's close to God as well. He's close to God in his daily life. He worships and prays. And I think it's a challenge to me. And I think we can have hope. Right at the other end is the oldest person in the church. We can have hope. Hope that God will do something great in our lives. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life, and life abundantly in the area of joy. 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 Something incredible happened at our church. It's bizarre. It's just funny. I'm not going to give loads of illustrations. I'll give you the 2 points quick. But our church in Guernsey, it's bizarre. Some of you remember the general superintendent of Ealing, a man called Wyn Lewis. Who remembers Wyn Lewis? Some remember Wyn Lewis. Now, this is incredible because I'd never seen this in my life before. Ever seen it happen, and it offended lots of people in the church. But it was what the Holy Spirit was telling him to do there and then. Right? Now, I would never do it here unless God told me to do it. But there's a worship service, and Wyn Lewis is there, and he's a little man, and I can't remember what happened. I think the worship had happened, and he preached, and there's a lot of people just sat there, sort of staring stony-faced. He said, God's told me to do something. And he walked in the back, he got a tickling stick out, and walked in and started tickling everybody. He says, now laugh, come on, laugh, let's have some joy. And of course, we found that a bit messy and wrong, and this is not a God. Well, I'm sorry, but God told him to do that at that point. And I think his message in that time, and he probably never did it before or never did it after, was that God wants to bring joy into your life. You're allowed to have joy. The thief will steal that joy, but as part of the pasture you get, you are allowed to have it. Oh no, only little kids who have had lots of sweets can have joy. No, we can have joy. I was walking around this field at Abridge with Ashley this afternoon. It's very simple stuff. Phone turned off, looking around, and we went on a nature trail, saw two squirrels having a fight in the tree, and one of them fell out and ran off, and she was worried about the squirrel, and there's a sheep in the field next door, and there was a zip wire at the end of the field, which they put up there. I don't know why they have it, it's there. And so she went on that, and I saw the joy in her face. I thought, we can have that back. Because Jesus has died for me and my sins are forgiven and I'm going to heaven when I die, and that's great. The thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. I came to have life, abundantly in terms of peace of mind. God wants to give you peace of mind. You are allowed to have peace of mind. You're allowed to be happy. You're allowed to have peace in your mind. If it is not there, then there might be all kinds of reasons for it, but it is the devil that wants you to have no peace. God wants you to have peace. And that bit in Luke 8:35, people went out to see what happened. They came to see Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Jesus leaves us sitting there clothed and in our right mind. He wants us to have the abundant life that brings peace into our life. Number 5, there's only 2 more afterwards. The thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and life abundantly in the area of vision. A vision, something to carry you forward. I believe that God wants to do something radical in terms of our church and wants us to look. I do not see things the way they are here in 5 years' time. I know God is doing something. I know God is doing something in the area of expansion. And if I didn't have that vision, then I wouldn't be worth my salt. Because you don't want somebody who keeps things the same. What's wrong with things the way they are? Great, fantastic. But let's have more of God's Spirit. Let's have a congregation too big for this building, which we probably almost have if we have everyone here on Sunday morning and at the moment. But if we're not looking forward and thinking, well, I'm 52 years old now, you know, I might as well just give up. God's now, but what is God saying? So I will caution us to all pray and say, you know, people say, oh, that's not right, God's not saying that. I say, do you pray? What's God saying to you? Well, no, I'm not. I just didn't think it was right. Well, pray and see what God says to you. Vision, looking forward. Vision is important. It's very, very important to have a vision. We had a vision for a porter cabin outside. And I spent ages walking around the back, praying. And in May 2015, we had the porter cabin delivered. Now, I believe that's not the end of the story. And you need to have vision for your life as well. God said to Moses, Exodus 3:15 onwards, say to this people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has said to me to you, this is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared saying, I've observed what's been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I bring you up out of that affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, etc., to a land flowing with milk and honey. There is milk and honey ahead. How do I know that? Because God has spoken to me. Do you have a vision, a personal vision? There is a vision. There is a vision. There's a vision. If you don't have a personal vision, then if we don't have a vision as a church, as we've been developing the church vision throughout this last year, is solidifying people, releasing people into ministries, and we have already said that next year we'll look at tackling the problem of the issue of expansion. Somehow. I believe that God wants us to do that. If we don't do that, then we're saying that it's okay for all the people who are unsaved in Romsey to remain unsaved. Two more. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and life abundantly in the area of victory over temptation. Victory over temptation. You know, when we have God's abundant life in us, any temptation that hits us is incredible. My sister-in-law in Guernsey, the dog's died now. I had a dog many years ago called Lizzie. And I used to be a bit nervous of it. I was never brilliant with dogs. I just wasn't. I was attacked by a dog when I was young. Not badly, but it just made me feel nervous. And so I went to my sister-in-law's house, and I could easily control that dog. Do you know why? It's totally wrong. It was the wrong thing to do. Never do this. I gave it chocolate. I didn't know. Is that right or wrong? I don't know. But I gave it chocolate. And so this dog would sit there looking at me, and Flo, my sister-in-law, whose friend says, the dog likes Uncle David. She loves him so much. Of course she does. You know, she sat there at my feet all the time. And not chocolate. Sometimes if we had a meal together, we'd give him a bit of meat. And so the dog loved me. You know, and when we'd stay there, when they were in France, we'd look after the dog, and the dog would, of course, love me. But rightly or wrongly, the dog knew that there was a certain thing that it had, that I had for it, that it would get. And if we got every other discipline and rule that it had been taught, it was the wrong thing to do. Don't ever do this. Pray for God to forgive me. But it's the same thing. If we focus on the wrong things for us, then that can take us off the discipline and the trap that God has given for us. And finally, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and life abundantly in the area of inner assurance. Inner assurance. I just am amazed sometimes when I hear people who are followers of Christ who say that if their death were to come very soon, they'll be terrified and not know where they'll be going. I think, come on, guys. Haven't you ever read this thing? We can have inner assurance. We're all a bit nervous about the process of death and our demise and everything. But I have met so many people who have been at the end of their life on those beds with the white borders. You know, you've seen them all. We've seen those white borders. We don't like them, do we? Been there. Death has been imminent. And they said, you know what? Up until the last 2 or 3 weeks, my assurance wasn't there. Maybe my life with God isn't right. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit's here. I've got absolute and total assurance I'm going to heaven. I've seen that with several people. And you can have that in your life. Don't worry about death. If God takes me tonight, just jack your phone in the morning, carry on without me. You know, it's just how it is. Don't worry about death. Death might come on 52, it could come on 92 or tomorrow or whatever. But we can have, as part of this abundant life that Jesus talked about, absolute assurance that we know that we are going to heaven when we die, and we can look forward to it. And Jesus looked forward to receiving us, and we can have that. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have the confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, this new living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is for his flesh, with a great peace over the house of God, let us draw near with a heart in full assurance of faith, a heart sprinkled clean. We can have, as part of the new covenant, absolute knowledge. You know, don't look at the end of your life as being in any way bad. You know, it's God has allotted, I am a piece of grass on this earth which appears for a moment and goes either tomorrow or goes in 40 years' time as God. But I've got assurance because I read in the Bible, it tells me I can. I pray, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I'm in worship times like we have tonight. Great, great time of worship, Deborah. I just get lost in the music. I realized after a while it was about 10 to 7, and I thought, well, normally we stop it at 10 to 7. I thought, no, let's go on a little bit longer. And I think, but in times like that, here at church or with God or with your CD on the car, you can know him and know him afresh. Let your Christianity not just be an experience of years ago. One of the worst things about being a leader in the church is that you can almost fall back on your own experience. And I just don't want to do that. Because when I'm out there in the field and I'm on my deathbed and I'm on my quiet time at home, it's just me and God. You know, and so I want to remind you, and I'd like us to go back into a time of worship for a few minutes and see what God wants to say. But simply this tonight, that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came, said Jesus, that thou might have life and life and abundantly. You may have things that hold you back. You know, my body isn't physically perfect. My sense of smell is virtually non-existent. And I'd say it was so much so that once at pushchair pit stop, I was the only person in the building, and I was happy as anything, pushchair pit stop, the playgroup, and Pat walked in and screamed because I had Cornish pasty in the oven, which was burning. I couldn't smell it. I have physical restrictions, but fine. It doesn't bother me. We all have physical restrictions, but in God, you know, God is there. So I don't want to glorify that. I don't want to glorify anything else. Bad things have happened to me. Good things have happened to me. I don't want to glorify it. Lord, we believe tonight, Lord, that you can give us this abundant life freshly again. And, you know, some of you might think, oh, yes, you know, I've heard that message before. I've heard it preached. And Pastor Walker, you've done it wrong because I preached this message 2,300 years ago. And it should be like, listen, let's forget our sophistication. You know, I'm not your best Bible teacher, but just let that word, which is the greatest thing you've heard today, the word of God, permeate through you.